Good morning to each one gathered out this morning. It's a pleasure to be here, bringing greetings in the precious name of Jesus, the one who said that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there I will be in the midst of them, he says. And I'm thankful for that this morning, because when Jesus was on earth, what did he do? He worked miracles. And I was a little nervous about preaching this morning, because I know you are in that class about plain speaking. And I know whenever you're studying a class that you start to look at speakers and try to decide how they match up to what you're being taught. I am glad your teacher taught Sunday school this morning, because I was able to do a little bit the same. But I'm glad that Jesus is here, because perhaps this morning he can work a miracle and my little bit of ambition, my little bit of stuttery speech can actually be turned into something profitable. And I believe that Jesus can do that for us. I am blessed to be part of this Bible school term. I had to wait 42 years to go to Bible school, but it's been a blessing. I've been enjoying the energy and of the youth here, and the faithfulness I see of those who are trying to live for God. And I tried to decide what I would preach this morning, because it felt like I've been preaching for 2 weeks, and in a way. But some time ago, I saw this bumper sticker. Not always wise to read bumper stickers, but some of them are okay. But I saw this bumper sticker, and it said, "One life, live it." And it kind of connected with me, and I raised that question this morning, and that is, we have one life. Are you living it? And how would you define living it? What would that even be? What would that seem like? What would that be for you? I suppose it depends on your age here. I know that those in school think, at least at a certain age of school, probably a certain age, you think when we go to school, that'll be it. And then get a little older, they think when we get out, then we'll have life. And sometimes maybe they get out of school and you're looking forward to getting your license or your first job, or you're turning 18, going to Bible school, and think that's when life will be. And maybe you're older than that here this morning, and you think, well, maybe when we have a child, or maybe when our child becomes of age and we're alone again, the children are all gone, that's when life will be. Maybe it's when I have a certain job or a certain property or when I reach a certain age, that's when it's going to be. One life, live it. This morning, is that your thoughts? Is the one life that you have to live, is that right around the corner? It's just not quite there. It's just not quite there. Or can you have it now? Turn to Ecclesiastes. Here we have a man. It says the words of the preacher, the son of David, and He talks about the vanity and vexation that he found in life after he had desired everything. I thought that the first song I think we sang after Sunday school was "Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride." And we can spend our entire life searching for that one thing, or we can find it now. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning. Ecclesiastes 1, we're going to read the whole chapter 1. We're going to read some of chapter 2 as well. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, king in Jerusalem. "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also arises, the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he rose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north, and it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And the place from whence the rivers come, there they return again." Maybe you never stood beside a river, or maybe it's me, but the first time I was in Niagara Falls, I don't know how many have ever been there, but it's been years ago. I was there shortly after we were married, a year or so after we were married, and stood there beside the falls and watched the water just kept running and running. And my wife, she heard me say numerous times, she was still figuring out who I was. And I said, it just never stops. It never stops running, never runs out. That's the way. That's what the Ecclesiastes right here is saying, is the rivers run and run into the sea, and the sea never gets full, and the rivers never quit running. "All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." Has there ever been more time in life that we can have things filling our eyes and our ears than now? And he says, this thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." There's nothing new. "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it hath been already of old time which was before us? There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, the king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasures, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men that they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kind. I made me pools of water to water with all the wood to bring forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possession of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happened unto me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity of vexation of spirit. Interesting little observation this preacher had there. And you can continue to read this book, and you will read over and over and over again how he says all is vanity. And you get back to chapter 9, he wrestles with the unfairness of life and how that the wicked and the righteous end up getting rain, end up the same things. But if you go clear to the end of the book, he says what really matters in life and how you have this one life and what it takes to have this one life. So once you read about all the vanities and all the things that he, and for a little devotional in your next couple of weeks, you can just read this whole book. It's very interesting. Clear at the end of chapter 12, he says this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. All the stuff you can chase, all the things you think is that one thing that you're going to get and it's going to do for you what you wanted to do. He says, in the end, it was all vanity. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And why is this the duty of man? That's the last verse is also a very interesting verse that he says, the reason is because God shall bring every work into judgment. All these things that people chase, everything you thought was going to bring you some sort of fulfillment in life, you're going to be accountable for. Every one of those things. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And of course, we could follow up with that teaching back. Jesus followed up with that teaching back in Matthew, where he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but who? Those that do the will of God. So what is the point of life and what's the one life? Well, it's to fear God and keep his commandments. So I've divided the sermon this morning into two little parts. Part one, I'd like to first of all consider the things this preacher observed and what brought him to this conclusion. And then the last part, why fearing God and keeping his commandments is the whole duty of man. So first of all, the first thing I see that brought him to this conclusion, and that is that he says, If you're looking for something new, there's no new thing under the sun. I'm sorry. If you think that maybe if we do this, this is something new and something grand. Somebody else already tried it. Read the history books. It's already been there. It's already been done. And it might bring enjoyment for a while, but eventually it'll run its course and something else will be in. It's interesting. One generation passes away, another generation cometh, but the earth remains the same. I was prepared for church this morning. My one son thought he saw an extra pocket in front of my pants. And I said, no, that's pleats. See, pleats used to be the end thing. And I guess I bought pants and they were the end thing. We had pleated pants. Nowadays, there is no pleated pants. But if you live long enough, pleated pants will come back, I'm pretty sure. Because Earth, it does this cycle. I made the statement. You look at glasses. There used to be, in the old days, people had big glasses, and then they went to little glasses. Now the glasses are getting big again. In a way, life is like a clock that's broke. If you never change, you'll probably hit it right about two times if you live long enough. It's just the way life is. Life, there's nothing new. One generation passes away, and the next generation comes, and it's the same thing. Some things is good that we grab hold of and hang on to, and something is better if we just let go and wait till we're in style again. The second thing this man, he realized here, is that no matter how much wisdom you actually have, you will wear yourself out trying to figure everything out. You see that in verse 13. He gave his heart to know wisdom and search things out. And if your goal in life is to figure out a reason for everything and why everything is the way it is and how everything works, you're going to wear yourself out, and you're going to come down to the point where it's going to become more confusing than ever. The more you see, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. And there's people that are continually trying to figure out exactly how the world was created. And they're scientifically, wisdom is trying to figure all this stuff out. And I watched a documentary some time ago about when they sent this last telescope in the orbit, and one lady was there crying. She was like, now finally we're gonna know where we came from. And she was watching on television this thing go up and how this thing opened up, and she says, finally we'll know. And she was crying. You know, women get kind of teary-eyed over some things sometimes, and it was fine. But I'm thinking, she may as well keep on crying, because you're never going to find out from a telescope. You simply have to believe in faith that God created the world. That's the way it is. And that's what this writer's writing here. He says, I searched it all out with wisdom, and it's vanity. The third thing I see here in verse 15... And that is, he concluded that the things in life that really bugged him, you just can't fix them all. And I don't know how many of you have ever looked around in life and thought about all the things that are wrong in life, whether it's in your family or in your church or just things in general, and you just wish that you could make them straight. And the more you focus on all the wrongs of life, the more you see. That's what he says here. He says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. It's just one of those things that we focus on the crooked things of life. That's all we will see. We cannot fix them all. We can wear ourselves out. The fourth thing I see here in verse 17, and it comes back to the wisdom thing, and that is, the more we know, the more we'll realize we don't know. And Ralph Sockman quoted that, the larger the island of knowledge, the longer the shoreline of wonder. The way wisdom is. The fifth thing I see here is in chapter 2. So he says in verse 1, go to my heart, prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasures. And we have a world that is running after pleasures. And it's amazing to me the amount of entertainment that America supplies in their theme parks, etc. And they keep having to have a newer thrill, because guess what? What was going to be fun isn't quite fun enough. Got to go a little bit beyond. And he says, this is vanity. And I don't know, perhaps some of you know the feeling here of kind of the emptiness of wanting to have something, wanting to do something. You think, this will be it. And when you actually go and do it and you're finished, it's like, well, maybe there's something else that would be more fun. And we see young people and sometimes old people chasing these things. One more thing, maybe. The sixth thing we see here is things don't bring satisfaction. We have that in verses 4 to 11. We have this man, he had a dream estate. had the beautiful flower beds, beautiful fruit-bearing trees, irrigation systems to keep all this stuff running. He had so many servants that he could simply enjoy life and didn't have to work. Had lots of cattle, lots of money, live music band, all types of instruments, everything he wanted, everything. And most of us cannot understand what that feeling would be like. Most of us are limited in our collection of things, but this preacher says, I had it all. Got me whatever I wanted. And he said, it was vanity. The seventh thing I see here, and that is that life brings with it constant changes. And that's kind of we just know that. I mean, if you've been here for 2 weeks, Bible school's about over. Yesterday's gone. 2025 is gone. Life just continues to change. Every day is a different day, and you'll never have an opportunity. The one you just passed, every year's a different year. You never have returned the opportunity. But that is life, and in a way, that's a good thing. Because when things are going wrong, you can hope that someday it will get better. And likely it will. And it can be a little discouraging because when things are really going good, you can just be assured that someday it's not going to go so good. And you just have that. It's the way life is. It's just it's just a cycle, and we understand that. I know that I like to do this when people are complaining about how the weather, when it's really dry, and everyone's saying, I mean, it's so dry. It's just, and I say, well, just think, we're one day closer to the next rain. It's your perspective, you see. It is how you look at it. Because we know that someday it will rain again. Someday it will quit raining. Someday it will warm up when it's cold. Someday life is that way. When life is going good, someday it will probably go bad. But when it's going bad, hang on. It will probably get good again. That is life. So, the last part here, and that is why fearing God and keeping his commandments is the whole duty of man. Well, first of all, we are created beings. There's no one here that decided that, guess what, I want to be born, and I'm going to be born in such and such a home, I'm going to be born in such and such a place, I'm going to be born in such and such an era of time. It's not our choice. We are created beings. God says, this is where I want you, this is where I placed you, this is what I have for you in life. This is yours. And as a result, we are given the choice of what we're going to do with that. Everyone here, we have a choice. What are we going to do with the opportunity and with the situation we find ourselves placed in? God has a plan and a purpose for having us here. God has a plan and a purpose for having you in the home you're born in. He has a plan and purpose for each one. And that's the reason our whole duty is to serve Him. It's actually quite simple. God desires glory from our life, and He created us for that purpose. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. We have these words. Revelation chapter 4. We have these beasts in verse 7 and 8 saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then we have down in verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. That's the reason it's our purpose here is to fear God and keep His commandments, because He designed us. That's what He created us for. He created us for His glory and for His pleasure. God did not create you and I for us to get out of life what we want. He created us to get out of life, to get out of life what He wants. And remember that. Life is not about me, it's about Him. How many times in life do we get discouraged simply because we thought that we should have this, and instead God says, this is what I give you. He points out in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before Him. God is in control, and he wants our lives to bring him honor and glory. The third thing I see here in these verses, and that is that this can be done by all people, anywhere, and with any amount of intellect at any age. If this preacher in his whole book of Ecclesiastes, if he came to the end and said the one life to be lived would be based on your amount of wisdom you had, then the simple ones would be left behind. We would never be able to have the one life. If he decided that it was the amount of things he possessed, the amount of money and materialistic, the amount of material he had, then poor folks would be left behind. But he said, his conclusion is that it is the whole duty of man. It doesn't matter if you're wealthy and live in America. It doesn't matter if you're poor and live in Ukraine, where everything you have is being blown up by another country. It doesn't matter if you're really smart or if you're simple-minded. You can get the most out of life. Fear God and do his commandments. It's not based on anything out there. It's based on what God created in here. We can do it. And the fourth thing I see here, and that is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. We have in Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of holy is understanding. The writer, Ecclesiastes writer, portrays the vanity of wisdom that is pursued outside of God. And that is true. Anything pursued outside of God is vanity. The true wisdom comes straight from him. Fear God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This morning, are you committed to that? Are you committed to living your one life and spending the rest from here out? From here out, are you committed to spending your entire life fearing God and doing his commandments? Matthew 16:25-26 says this, for whosoever shall save his life shall save it. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what if a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This morning, will you fear God and keep his commandments? Or will you continue to try to live your one life? Amen.